God. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
He will not always refuse, nor will he keep his anger forever.
He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us to our iniquities.
For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him.
As far as east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Amen. No jam today, but we will continue with our opening hymn, Gathering.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
The first reading this morning is from Genesis, the 50th chapter. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when he spoke to them. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans, the 14th chapter. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain. And those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? Is it before their own food that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld? For the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord, and those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord. since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to the Lord. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will be accountable to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him a mere 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went out and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave, as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. With dreams of torture and such things that don't sound very gospel-y to me. Let's try to clean that text up a little bit. Alice Cagle, anyone know her? I doubt it. She was born in 1905, and at some point in her late childhood, she decided that Alice was a rather stodgy name, so she started going by her middle name, Leona. Leona married Harold Callan, and struggling to make lives for themselves in Western New York and Pennsylvania, they made a home for themselves in the great state of Ohio, and started a family in the middle of the Great Depression. Their son, Ron, was born in 1932. The Depression hit their young family of three especially hard. Harold and Leona lost their first three houses, and each time had to start over. They simply couldn't afford to have more than one child, and they lavished all the love they had on their only son, Ron, and later, their three grandsons. Leona was quick-witted. She had pristine manners, and she expected everyone else in her life to have those same set of manners. When he was in college, Leona mailed her grandson, Bruce, a birthday card with a check in it. And he procrastinated just a bit, as some college kids do, in sending that all-important thank you note. Well, Leona followed up a few weeks later with another card to Bruce, and it read simply, "I'll take my canceled check as a sign that you did indeed receive your birthday card." I love it. She was an active member of her Methodist church. We won't hold that against her. Particularly its ladies' circle, a community that she clung to after her husband Harold died in 1974. Leona was utterly devoted to God, to her family, and to her neighbors. So if you didn't know Leona Callan before, that is Leona Callan. Unfortunately, in December of 1991, Leona's life ended suddenly and quite senselessly. Days after celebrating Thanksgiving with Leona, her son Ron received an unimaginable message on his answering machine. His mother, Leona, had been brutally beaten to death by someone who had broken into her Ohio home, presumably to burglarize it, and was surprised to find her there. Days later, her body was discovered by two neighbors who had stopped by out of concern because they hadn't seen her that week. Leona's killer remained at large for several months, but was eventually identified and arrested. And as I think you most of you know, capital punishment was and still is legal in Ohio. And thankfully for Leona's family, the district attorney had campaigned on a platform of seeking capital punishment more frequently. The death penalty was meant for cases just like this. And besides, who was going to object to the execution of someone who had horrifically beaten an elderly woman to death in her home? But it's not that simple, is it? In the gospel from last week, Jesus gave clear instructions to his disciples. If one of your siblings sins against you and becomes like that lost sheep, do everything you can to regain that one and bring that one back into the fold. And Peter wants to know more. And Peter, I think, thinks he's being generous, right? How often should I forgive the one who sins against me? Puffs out his chest a little bit. As many as seven times? He thinks that's a big number, right? But Jesus immediately knocks the wind out of Peter's sails, as Jesus often does with Peter. Jesus tells him, "I tell you, 77 times. Some texts actually translate this as 70 times 7. Now, how's your math? 490. Great job, everyone. I'm very proud of you. 490 times. And I know you're saying, that's a lot of forgiveness, Sean. Well, don't take it up with me, first of all. Take it up with Jesus. Second of all, I understand where you're coming from. That is a lot of forgiveness. Am I just supposed to let someone keep sinning against me, hurting me? Am I supposed to be a punching bag for someone and then just keep forgiving them over and over and over again? No. No. But I'll come back to that. It's very nuanced. You're looking at me like, what are you talking about? Yes, you should keep forgiving, Marty. Marty, you should keep forgiving, But you should not keep subjecting yourself to this situation. And I will come back to that. But first, let's address this story, this little story that Jesus tells us today, and how in it he goes what I will call forgiveness crazy. So we're going to do a little bit more math. Are you all good at carrying zeros? Jesus wasn't satisfied with 77 times. He wasn't satisfied with 490 times. In this parable today, there is a debt that a slave owes to a king. But it's not just a little itty-bitty debt. It's an unfathomable amount of debt for us slaves. 10,000 talents. Some more math here, like I said. One talent is equal to 1,000 denarii. So carry the zeros. That's 10 million denarii. And for perspective, one denarii for a slave like this was about a day's wage. I don't know how many days I'm going to live in my lifetime, but it's not 10 million days. So 10 million days, that's about 27,397 years. So if this slave lived until 100 years of age and worked every day from birth until death, and earned one denarii on each one of those days, no days off from infancy until death, that is still 274 lifetimes. And this slave has the gall to say, "Have patience with me, Lord. I will get you that 274 lifetimes worth of money. I will repay you what I owe." And the king, out of compassion for the broken man that's kneeling before him, shows him mercy and says, "I forgive you this unfathomable debt that you could not pay me in 274 lifetimes." Because we all know that he's not making money from 0 to 100, maybe 50 years in there. 500 years, 600 years to pay this debt. Oh, sorry, lifetimes to pay this debt. So my soccer team this week, I love them so much. They were all going through the motions on a drill. They were doing what we call pullbacks. They're supposed to pull the ball behind them and run back to it, and pull the ball behind them and run back to it. And they were just going through the motions. They were being really lazy about it, and it was making me really mad. And I stopped the drill and I said, "I want to see you do this drill like it's a game." And one of the little smart somethings looked at me and said, "But it's not a game." How do you think I took that? Better than you might expect, because I wanted to make them run, but I kept my cool, sort of. And I explained, you practice like it's a game, so when the game comes around, that pullback is second nature. And we restarted the drill. They did it slightly better. And you're laughing because you can imagine the gall, I'll use that word again, of these little kids. Well, we have that same gall. But Jesus, we question, how many times am I supposed to forgive? Seven times? That seems like enough. And Jesus, he gets frustrated. He's about ready to make us run. And he says, "I have a better idea. I don't want you to forgive seven times. I don't want you to forgive 77 times or 490 times. I want you to spend the next 274 lifetimes practicing forgiveness. Do it over and over and over again until it becomes second nature to you. Do it over and over and over again until forgiveness becomes a way of life for you, until it becomes part of who you are." And Jesus is, of course, right. In a sin-filled, broken world full of sinful, broken people, none of us, of course, we must practice forgiveness Because if we don't, this world, we will devolve into a fractured society that finds enjoyment in looking for the next person or group to ruin or cancel. I wonder what that would look like. And though the state of how we treat one another in this world disgusts me, I can say that I cannot stand up here and pretend to be a moral authority on this matter, nor can, I'm guessing, any of you. Jesus says, love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Forgive your neighbor so much that it becomes a way of life. And I wish I could tell you I do these things so consistently from my own experience, but I can't. And I can't use my life, this life, as an illustration for you and tell you how you ought to do these things. Because I don't do these things, at least not as often as I'm called to. So I asked a question earlier. I said, who is going to object to the execution of a man who had committed a crime as horrific as beating an elderly woman to death in her home? Leona Cal. Who, I asked, who would object to that? Ron Cal. Ron Callan objected to the death penalty. Ron Callan, Leona's only son, and his wife, Carolyn, were resolute in their insistence, we do not want the death penalty to be used against Leona's murderer. The district attorney, who again campaigned on seeking capital punishment, conceded to Ron and Carolyn's plea, do not exchange a life for a life. At the sentencing hearing, Ron Callan demonstrated what a lifetime spent practicing forgiveness looks like. In a statement he made to the court, he asserted his love for his mother and their shared love for Jesus Christ. His opposition to the death penalty, he said, was rooted in that love for the God who loved us enough to become one of us, who lived amongst us and gave up his life on the cross, which, by the way, is another instrument of capital punishment, who gave up his life willingly to redeem us from sin and death, who commanded us not just to love our neighbors, but to forgive our enemies, to love our enemies. Ron closed his remarks with the following words. He said this, finally and fundamentally, based on our Christian beliefs, we oppose the death penalty. As Mother's minister said in her funeral sermon, God weeps because two lives are destroyed and two families must find their way out of this and seek peace. We do not have hate in our hearts. We rest in this way of justice. Forgiveness does not mean that there are no consequences. The murderer was sentenced to what amounted to life in prison. It was important to Ron and Carolyn that this man couldn't inflict this pain on another person and family. As Ron suggests in his statement, justice was done. With this passage from Matthew, I think it's very important to note that forgiveness does not mean that we subject ourselves to unhealthy people, behaviors, and relationships. Yes, we're called to practice forgiveness. But we should not be out there in the world seeking opportunities to practice forgiveness. They're going to happen all on their own. Don't go seeking those opportunities for forgiveness by putting yourselves and continuing to subject yourselves to relationships that abuse you. That's not Jesus' call here. Again, let me point to Ron. He closed his statement with two very important words.
Two very important words were in that final statement. Peace and rest. Peace and rest for our minds and our hearts and our souls. What if we looked at forgiveness different than we normally do? What if forgiveness is not just a command, something that God requires us to do, something that Jesus calls us to do? What if we looked at it also as a gift that God has given to us so that we may find peace and rest? Listen to Ron's words here. We do not have hate in our hearts. What would it be like? What would it look like and feel like to let go of hate? Hate that we have in our hearts. What would it take to let go of that hate? In some cases, perhaps justice. In other cases, maybe time and space spent away from the one who has hurt us. In other cases, forgiveness may require the complete severing of a relationship. Forgiveness opens the door, but it does not always lead to reconciliation and restoration. They're not the same thing. That's okay. But I do think forgiveness is a gift from God that allows for peace and rest and allows for hatred to find its way out of our hearts. Elizabeth Leona Cowan was born in December 1991, 3 weeks after her great-grandmother was murdered. Elizabeth shares the same love for Jesus Christ as her great-grandmother that she never met. Her grandfather, Ron, and her father, Bruce, the one who forgot to send the thank you card. And on Friday of this week, I will celebrate with Elizabeth her ordination as a minister into the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. I will travel to Minnesota to be with her on her ordination as her friend and soon-to-be pastoral colleague. I thank Elizabeth for allowing me to share this story today, a story I know has been formative to her faith, because she has allowed me to share her family's story. I want to close with her own words, what this means to her, words that I think we can all relate to. Elizabeth says, "In the face of far less egregious offenses, I have held on to my own bitter resentment much more tightly. I fear that if ever faced with a tragedy and an injustice as incomprehensible as the murder of a loved one, I would be crushed by my grief and my rage, unable to muster even a modicum of the mercy that my grandpa Ron did." Now, knowing Elizabeth, I do think that she's judging herself a bit too harshly here, but listen to what she says next. She names so clearly for us what Jesus Christ did for Ron and also does for us. "And still I know that Ron would point to Jesus before he would ever point to himself, that he would insist that it wasn't his own goodness that made forgiving his mother's murderer possible, but rather the goodness of God and Jesus Christ, a goodness that, even in the face of a senseless loss, that he knew he would spend the rest of his life grieving, that goodness led him away from easy anger and quick hatred and blind retribution, and instead towards mercy." It wasn't Ron that made Ron able to forgive. It was God's love for us, made known to us in Jesus Christ, that made him able to forgive. Put another way, Ron was forgiven a 10,000 talent debt by a king, a debt he couldn't possibly hope to pay if given 250 years. Lifetimes. 250 lifetimes, he couldn't possibly hope to pay that debt. But because of this king's goodness and mercy, Ron couldn't help but treat his fellow slave mercifully. What a different ending it is to that parable. By forgiving the debt, the sin of Leona's murderer, Ron was freed. Ron was freed from hatred and anger, and he was given rest, and he was given peace. This is the gift of extravagant forgiveness, and it has been lavished upon all of us, through the life, death, and resurrection of the King. Our King, Jesus Christ. And for that, what can we say other than thanks be to God? Amen.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
Remembering the caring of generous work and generous works of God, we pray for the church, creation, and the needs of our neighbors.
We pray for the church, Bless the missions and ministries of First Lutheran Church, including our meal ministry, Prayer Shawl, and its work at Mill Creek, and the work of mission and evangelism and hope teams. We lift the missions of all Galleon area missions, including CCSG, and the missions and ministries of all congregations, both locally and globally, that they uplift the good news of salvation in ways that can be understood. Merciful God.
Our prayer. We pray for creation. We stand in awe of your creation, God, and yet we are too often reminded that we struggle to live in harmony with it. We pray this day for those devastated by recent disasters, the Moroccan earthquake, the Libyan flooding, the Maui wildfires, and numerous hurricanes. Be with the families of the thousands who have died and those who have been left to rebuild. Guide leaders to direct aid and resources to susceptible areas that we may work to minimize loss of life when future disasters strike. Merciful God.
We pray for all who govern. Encourage those in positions of power to lead with empathy, practice forgiveness, and care for those who struggle. Merciful God.
Receive our prayer. We pray for our neighbors who face illness of any kind, for those strained financially, for all living with chronic pain, mental illness, the disease of addiction, or otherwise afraid or in harm's way. Protect all who cry out for mercy, especially the family and friends of Jamie, the family and friends of Brian, the family and friends of Kara, Caleb, Jim, Beth, Linda, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Deb, Frida, Bill, Linda, Ed, Wilma, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Merciful God.
We pray for this congregation, especially as we continue the sometimes contentious and often difficult process of discerning consolidation. Open our hearts and minds to the work of the Holy Spirit among us. When we make mistakes, when we fail, and when we sin against one another, help us to forgive each other, to practice patience, and choose love over judgment. You welcome all to your table. Make First Lutheran a place where all feel that welcome. Merciful God.
Receive our prayer. Remember us according to your steadfast love as we offer these in the prayers of our heart, trusting in your compassion made known through Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. This time we continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of power, God of plenty, all things belong to you. We bring your gifts to the table that all might be fed. Form us into the body of your beloved, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and light, full of your glory, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We are fed by God's very own self with God's very own hand. Come to the table where all are welcome.
Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Blessed be your name, O God, for we have feasted on your word. Christ Jesus, the joy and delight of our hearts, strengthened by this food, send us to gather the world to your banquet, where none are left out and all are satisfied. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated for some announcements. Okay, noisy offering for this month. The month of September will continue to go to Lutheran Disaster Response in light of the continuing natural disasters that the world keeps facing, especially the floods in Libya and the Moroccan earthquake. We are next month going to change over to Lutheran World Relief. We will continue our Bible study weekly on this Wednesday at 7 p.m. at Trinity Lutheran. So please come on over for that as we hit the third out of five on the Lutheran liturgy. Let's see. Sunday, October 1st, after worship, we will start an adult education series, TBD, on what I talk about. Did we say Tuesday? This Tuesday, 10 a.m., please and thank you. And if you have any interest in some of what used to be part of our library, go down and check out what used to be our clothes closet. Take away. they're there for you. So if you feel a need to donate to the missions for whatever you take, absolutely, we would welcome it, but they're there for you to take for free. We have started setting back out a thing for CCSG. Right now, they're in need of diaper wipes, diapers of any size, personal hygiene, paper products, etc., etc. So, Grief Share has started. Is that right, Kathy?
Yes, we'll be our third.
So you can still get...
Still come.
Yep. St. Paul United Methodist Church. Okay, looks like my peeps left me hanging today. Drum roll, please. Our new name is not ready to be announced because of a problem that we've experienced. One of the things that's been communicated to us is that it's very important that the announcement being released to all churches is the same coming from its leaders. And there was not agreement. There was agreement on the announcement on Sunday. And as the week went on, the announcement was unagreed on. So we are meeting Tuesday. We will agree on said announcement, and we will be prepared to have that conversation as soon as is humanly possible. And I apologize for that. I understand the frustration here, and I want to name the frustration, and this is not a decision that we wanted to make, but in my best view, it was the only decision to make given the issues we were having. So, with that, a few other somber notes. Please pray for the family and friends of Brian Lockery. Brian passed away on Friday evening. Brian is Mike's son. And please keep an eye on arrangements for that. Also, please keep the family and friends of Kara Chaplin in your prayers. She was known by some members of the congregation, and she passed away yesterday. So please keep them in your prayers, please. And with that, are there any other announcements? Please stay after the service and greet Katie Clark, our new organist. Hi, Katie. And thank you very much for our landscaping crew who was here on Friday. Did some work over there and cleared out some trees and whatnot. And also everyone who's been helping with the rummage sale. And with that, please stand and we'll receive a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.